I'm Adam Rapport. Welcome back to the Bon Appetit Foodcast. Joining me today is Deputy Editor Andrew Knowlton. Andrew, how you doing?
Awesome.
Awesome is good. We'll take awesome. And our special guest. She's already laughing. Talia Bayoki, Editor-in-Chief of Punch, an online drinks magazine. That's what it says in front of me in parentheses.
Correct.
Author of Sherry, which came out last year. Beautiful book.
And thank you.
Soon to be author of Spritz. That comes out in spring of 2016. All right, so Talia, today we are talking summer drinks because it's summer and it's hot and we like to drink. First question, beer on ice. I have to do it because that's all I drink all summer long and certain people on staff give me a hard time about it.
I've never done beer on ice. I do a lot of wine on ice.
Ooh.
See, I would actually argue that wine on ice is even more controversial than beer on ice.
I would agree.
Now, is that just because you want it colder or is it actually offering you some sort of, by watering it down, it makes it more quaffable?
It's all about cold.
It's all
about cold.
Like
for me, I like bubbly wine on ice.
I agree with you. I mean, like I said, I picked up the beer on ice thing through the Michelada and get a beer and a bunch of limes and squeeze it in there on ice. And on a hot day, it's delicious and it's very quaffable, as Andrew Knowlton would say.
No, but the problem with you is it could be straight out of a freezer and you're still pouring it on ice.
Well, it's like, look at this way. You're from Atlanta, right?
I am from Atlanta.
You probably grew up drinking Coca-Cola.
Yes.
Coca-Cola on ice is better than Coca-Cola out of a bottle. There's a difference. Even though that bottle might be cold, you pour that over a glass of ice and it alters the sort of the composition.
That's true. But I think, and Tali, you know better than me, but I think a lot of winemakers and beer makers, they're making it so you drink it not to water it down more. I'm all for like rosé on ice once in a while.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
So beer, are you always adding something to the beer on ice or sometimes just beer alone
on
ice?
Well, I mean, the original, you know, in the Micheladas, which became popular in food circles, I don't know, 5-6 years ago or so, or at least, you know, just, and that's beer with lime and sometimes hot sauce. Mm-hmm. I started doing that, but then I drink a lot of Budweiser and I was having a barbecue and I would just open a can of Budweiser. I'm like, why not pour this on ice? And it still tastes good.
I think that's great because honestly, I end up not drinking a full beer so often because it gets
warm.
Yeah. On a hot day. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're doing Budweiser a favor, I
Tali,
think.
You need to drink faster. Yeah. That's what you need to do.
Before, that's probably
all right,
true.
All right. We're going to segue away from beer on ice, although we could do a whole podcast just on that. Beer on
you
ice.
You could.
Yeah,
you
could. I could. I could keep going. I think before we start asking you all these questions, I imagine people always want to know, well, what makes you qualified to do an online magazine about drinking? Like, why are you a drinks authority? How do you answer that? And I'm sure people have asked, or what's your take?
I drink a lot, which I think is the easy answer to that. But yeah, I mean, I've been drinking since the beginning, the very beginning of my life. Arguably while in the womb, thanks to my mother, but I'm still all right.
I interject my mom, who, this was the 1960s, I was born in 69, and I was like, Mom, did you drink like when you were pregnant with me? She's like, well, I mean, yes, but not martinis.
Yeah.
I'm like, mom, okay, thanks.
She ate oysters, she drank wine, and I'm doing just fine. She still stands by it. So, I think for me, it's just because I drink a lot and I'm interested in it and I've stayed committed to it. Very committed.
So let's talk summer drinking, spritz. My feeling is, take any sort of summery cocktail, add club soda or sparkling wine and it's better.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
No, that's correct, actually. Like, I've been committed to that for the last several months. But the thing about spritz that I love so much is that, you know, you don't need a jigger. It's not a drink that requires you to sit around and, like, measure everything out and make it perfect. And for me,
like, just lost Knowlton. If it doesn't have 17 ingredients, Andrew doesn't want to drink it.
The only thing I drink is highballs and whiskey. As I get older, I'm like an old man. But I have a question for Talia. We argue over this at the offices here at Bon Appetit. What is a spritz? What defines it?
So it's sort of more than it is like a specific recipe. It's like a way and a perspective on the aperitif that's, you know, specific to the northeastern part of Italy. But for me, it's bubbly, it's bitter, and it's low alcohol. Those are the three.
Bitter is interesting because that's probably not something that Americans typically think of.
When we think of spritz, we still think of like thong leotards and salad bars. I think of the 80s and I think of that.
Oh,
it was
like
a half-hearted diet.
Like
a white wine spritzer?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
So for us, when I say spritz, people go, oh, spritzer? Like they think of like, you know, Housewives in the 80s.
You mean like the that Jamie Lee Curtis movie, Perfect?
Yeah. So the spritz, though, obviously is something very different than that. And the way that the spritz becomes Italian, because it's originally something that comes down from Austria, is with the addition of a bitter liqueur, like Campari, like Aperol.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm curious about, I remember when Sherry came out last year, and at the office we get these sort of advances from the book publishing companies, and they talk about what their new slate of books is. And I remember seeing Sherry, and it's this gorgeously designed book. If you have not seen it out there, listeners, look it up. It's beautiful. And my first thought was like, a whole book about Sherry? That's impossible. And now you're doing a whole book about Spritz. How do you as a writer approach that? A single subject that most people would think is pretty narrow.
Selfishly, because I think these books are people, you know, they think about Sherry. And first of all, it wasn't even, you know, something that was terribly popular until about like 5 years ago. For 100 years, it was something that no one in America really thought about. But, you know, I think with anything, if you dig deep enough, you realize that there's more to it. And the same thing with Spritz. I mean, it's a much smaller book than Sherry. But when I started digging, I really got to the heart of, like, you know, Italian cocktails and why they're different than American cocktails, and their birth during fascism and futurism, which is super interesting. And then, you know, obviously the fact that they're delicious and it's easy to put together 50 recipes and have people want to drink them.
But the recipes are more interesting if there's a story behind them.
100%, yeah.
But it's also, we need to talk about Sherry or even Amaro's, which are big in the bar world now. I love Sherry. I think it's like the best, you know, aperitif before mm-hmm. a meal, like an amontillado or a dry sherry. But we're just rediscovering.
Have you had Budweiser?
No, I've never had a Budweiser. but I said we're rediscovering this as Americans, and we're finally like getting good stuff, and we know how to drink it now. Because before it was like a spritz was in a can, or it was a crappy Sprite with, I don't know, some sort of syrup on it. You know, we're taking it back to, I think, rediscovering it for ourselves.
Well, Talia is. I don't know about you, but well, yeah.
I like a good spritz.
No, but I think it's like the spritz was like sort of the last category of like cocktails in the craft cocktail movement that have like seen this kind of reinvention. And I started to see it pop up on craft cocktail bar lists. I was like, what? Spritz section? You know, and that only started happening a couple of years ago.
Right.
And I think it was sort of the last stop on the train. Like, I don't even know if there's another category we haven't explored. I think this is the last one.
So how do you, in the book itself, you talked about you don't need a jigger to measure out. How do you sort of write the recipes for these spritzes? Because I always feel summer drinks should be really easy. And so do you say like 2 ounces this, or do you say a splash, or how do you sort of
there's
format
a lot of ish.
Them? Yeah, ish.
Yes. No, they're, you know, for the recipes are sort of meant as like trailheads, you know, as like guides. Ooh,
trailheads.
To
like
kind of mixing it up. I mean, the spritz, once you get the formula and the basic idea of what it is, you can totally riff on that very easily. So for me, I'm like, oh, I kind of like a little Cokie. Maybe I'll squeeze a little grapefruit, then I'll pour a tiny bit of Campari, and then I'll top it with Prosecco. Topping anything with Prosecco, I mean, you can make it taste good.
Or let's
it's
let's
very about, forgiving.
I think one of the first spritzes that kind of became in vogue in America in the last decade, maybe thanks to Mario Batali or Joe Bastianich or something, was the Aperol spritz. Aperol. And you started seeing that everywhere 10 years ago, partly because of that orange color is so gorgeous. Like, so if I want to make an Aperol spritz, what am I doing?
You're pouring probably about like 1.5 to 2 ounces of Aperol into the glass, depending on how like sweet or bitter you want it.
What kind of glass?
I use a rocks glass, but you know, most people now use a wine glass, but yeah. In Italy, it's usually served in a rocks glass.
Okay.
So rocks, and usually what you do in Italy, they start with pouring the Prosecco, and then they top it with the bitter, and then they top it with soda.
What is ice in the glass already?
Yeah, and the reason they do that is because they don't want to mix up, which basically leads to like sort of the bubbles fading. So they want to put that Prosecco, then the bitter in the middle, and then the soda on top, so you don't have to sort of mix it. It stays in the center.
Why do you need the – that's interesting. But why do you need the seltzer or club soda on top?
You don't really.
Uh-huh.
It just dilutes the drink even more. I mean, the thing about it is you want to drink that slow alcohol, and this Aperol spritz is like – ends up being around 7-8% alcohol, which is pretty low.
Does a spritz have to be on ice?
I think so. That didn't happen till the 90s, though, really, in widespread. Wow.
Shrubs just seem to be getting very popular these days. Could you talk about those, Talia, and are pro or con?
Pro shrub.
Pro shrub.
Big time. I love, I mean, for me, it adds a perceivable
acidity.
Well, what
is a shrub for the listener who doesn't know?
It's basically like a fruit item that has been preserved with vinegar and turned into a syrup. So it's like a simple, it's like a sour simple syrup, essentially.
I love you say a fruit item.
Fruit item.
Not actually, it's like something on a weird like processed food label. Two parts, you know, it's like, is it fruit or
fruit
the,
item.
But it's
the
almost
cheese
like,
product?
It's almost like apple cider vinegar, or even kombucha, it has that kind of flavor to it.
So you have this sort of like fruit vinegar, and then what do you do with it?
I put gin on it.
I put gin on it.
I put gin on it, and then I top it with soda.
Nolan's from the South, so he's allowed to talk like that.
He understands.
And then crushed ice, right? I always feel like it has, if I have access to crushed ice, I think a shrub always tastes better.
It's really strong, so you want that dilution.
Right. Dilution.
Actually, so you're here, we're here at One World Trade Center, our new offices in downtown Manhattan. Your first time here, Talia?
Yeah.
Yeah, join us. And they're really nice, 36th floor, great view, beautiful new building. But the best thing about this job is we have a crushed ice machine in our little kitchenette over here.
It's a game changer.
Pellet ice? No.
No, not pellet. Not the rabbit pellet ice.
I'm gonna hand you some right now.
Please, thank you.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's like instant. It's cobbler. Instant julep, cobbler. Yeah, it's really special ice.
And also soda tastes much better.
Yes, it's the best. It's
moving
the best.
Moving on up. You can just throw that over your shoulder.
Just throw it on the ground.
She literally did it. That was awesome. The weird beigey, grazy carpet will not know any difference. So do you ever make shrubs or is it something you usually buy? Because you can buy a lot of them right now.
Yeah, I've made some shrubs. I made shrubs when I was working on Sherry. And they're pretty easy. I mean, you can usually make them in a couple of hours or sometimes overnight.
Walk us through it.
So with the one I made, you take grapefruit peels and then with sugar and you let them sort of soak up that sugar until they turn into kind of a syrup. And then I mix that with apple cider vinegar and a little bit of water. And then you put that in the fridge. You usually want to keep it in the fridge for like a day or two because you want those flavors to kind of mellow.
Macerate.
But these things macerate. But these things keep forever, which is another great thing about shrub. And they age kind of. I've had a few vintage shrubs.
Vintage. Now, the 2013 is superb.
Because if I think that the Pock Pock, which is a restaurant in Portland, Oregon, and here in New York, Andy Ricker, the chef there, has his drinking bitters, which are basically shrubs. You just mix that, like you said, with gin on crushed ice. It's a nice summer cocktail.
So good.
We are going to open up a bottle of Chandon Rosé that Belle, our executive producer, had at her desk. Where did this come from, Belle? Do you know?
Poor Belle.
Chandon. Our friends at Chandon. Should I shake the bottle, Belle? Or should
No.
No? You don't do that?
We didn't win anything.
Yeah, what do you do when you're opening like a
you
bottle of champagne?
You try not to spill it on the floor.
I don't shake it.
You don't shake it?
No.
What if you just won the Tour de France?
Then you shake.
Yes.
Always shake and saber in that situation. In an office environment, I feel like just regular opening is good.
Adam, have you ever actually opened a bottle of champagne before?
No, I know how to do it at the restaurant where you do it really quietly. It goes,
yeah.
It goes, Bell's like, stop. We're not even drunk yet.
All right, come on, I'm thirsty.
All
let's
right.
go.
That literally was a mistake. I didn't mean to do that. But
it's his first time opening a bottle of champagne.
It's my first rodeo. Okay, and with that, I'm going to pass you a glass.
Thank you.
Talia.
Can you hand me a plastic glass since you guys are taking
I'll pass you a real one. I'll give myself one, and we're going to sleeve of Dixie Cups. No, it was better than, I don't, I was like, do we have like solo cups here, like the 20-ounce pour of rosé champagne?
Talia, you should sell a spritz kit so you have everything ready to go, you know?
That's true. A little Campari in there?
Yeah, this could use maybe.
Yeah.
All right, guys, cheers. Salute. Cheers. Salute. As I say in salute or salute?
Salute.
Salute in Italia. Nice. Could be a little colder. You want some ice for that?
Need some ice.
Yeah. All right, lightning round.
Okay.
Either or questions. You have to answer them, though. And we're just going to get started. You ready?
Okay.
All right. Rocks or neat?
Neat.
Wow, you're like neat. What, really?
So don't bother me with a rock.
Wow. Good Lord. This is Knowlton's. This is a Knowlton Bell combo. Long Island Iced Tea or Lemon Drop?
Long Island Iced Tea.
Which is actually a pretty tasty drink.
Yeah, because if you're drinking one of those, you want to get drunk.
Yeah.
And the Lemon Drop is...
not a good drink.
No point.
Bar snack, wasabi peas or corn nuts?
Corn nuts.
That was a quick one.
Ranch?
Why?
Can I ranch, specify?
Oh, the ranch flavored corn nuts.
It's nice.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to reach down and put some ice in my rosé right now. Seriously.
I'll take a little if you got
it. You hear that? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Just a handful of crushed ice.
Perfect.
All right. We're keeping going. Oh, I like this one. Bar stool or booth?
Bar stool.
Why?
I always want to be at the bar. And a booth could not be at the bar.
Mm.
If you're talking about a booth that's at the bar...
Yeah, what if you did that? Do you ever go to that awesome bar at, this is going to sound obnoxious, but the, what's the old school hotel at the top of the Spanish Steps in Rome? The Hostler.
The Hostler.
And at the end of, they have a courtyard bar, and at the end of the bar, they have like a little, like tufted cushioned banquette.
Like a little love seat?
Like a little love seat for like 2 to 3 people at the one end of the bar. And you can sit there. And they also, the great thing about Italy, I think the best thing besides spritzes, of course, is that like during cocktail hour, they bring you all the snacks. Like the little potato chips and the deep fried olives and the little sandwiches. Like it's such an Italian thing. It's like, we will drink, but if we're drinking, we're going to be eating.
We got to make that happen here.
Yeah, we're not the best drinking culture in the world.
No.
Says the gal who just ordered ranch flavored corn nuts.
Guys,
you sent us back again.
Okay, getting fancy. Top of the standard or Bemelman's bar?
Bemelman's.
Really?
Classic.
I know, but top of standard.
Big martinis, huge.
Top of standard's kind of the most gorgeous room in New York City.
It's classy.
Screw top or cork?
Cork.
A hangover sort of question. Bloody Mary or Ramos Gin Fizz?
Bloody Mary.
Yeah. So if you're in New Orleans, though, you drink that's the only place you kind of really drink a Ramos Gin Fizz, right?
Yeah, I think so. And it's like, bartenders hate making them.
There's an egg white involved,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a lot of shaking.
But it's creamy and the
you don't like that.
It just makes you throw up.
Yeah, a little.
So we get the egg white. What else is in? I don't know if I've ever had one. I'm not as experienced of a drinker as you two.
Or gin.
Yeah.
Orange blossom water.
That water.
Right.
And that stuff's weird.
Lime. Right. And lime and cream.
Yes.
And soda.
Cream?
Yeah, there's cream in there.
God, that's terrible.
No, it's a silky, it's a textured drink.
All right, speaking of champagne, which we're drinking sparkling wine, I guess.
Yeah.
This is a good one.
Champagne with a lowercase.
Yeah. Flute or coupe?
Coupe. Ooh.
Uh-oh, wow. Oh. Whoa, she thought she was all like quick on the draw. Then she's like, wait a minute, let me recant that. Do you want us to redact that?
I would say neither.
What?
Neither. Wine
glass. That's what the cool like restaurant, because you have more of a nose or whatever.
Like
or?
This glass that we're drinking our fine champagne perfect. In is perfect.
Last question. This is a tough one, Talia. Okay. Cocktail, the movie, or Thin Man? Well, she's her forehead starting to sweat.
Sweating. Cocktail.
Really? Over Thin Man. The Thin Man movies. Interesting.
You know, we all sort of like make fun of Tom Cruise and question his, judgment, this and that.
Life.
But like when a Tom Cruise movie comes on TV, you will watch it. You cannot not watch it.
I can't not watch Risky Business when it's on. Oh, I have a hard time.
Dude, I mean, Rain Man? You're watching Rain Man? Yes.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible, just the first one, though.
Anytime A Few Good Men comes on, I will stay the entire time just for the courtroom scene that you can't handle the truth.
Cocktail, I want more flair bartending. I think that's what we're really missing.
Flair.
What's the guy's name? Something's Law? Murphy's? No. What's his
name? No. God, I'm so bad.
Yeah. It's not going to make
Let's
it
watch
in.
It again. This is the moral of the story.
All right, we're going to go to the
Let's
bar.
Let's all go home and watch it.
We're going to go download it on Netflix and go to a bar, to a bar stool or a booth near you. Talia Baiocchi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Spritz coming out 2016, right?
Yep.
All right, look for it. That and more flair bartending in your future. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by executive producer Belle Cushing and project manager Carrie Polis, with editing by Mitra Kaboli. The theme music is by Valerie and the Greedies. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.